What's up, guys? Rick here with your preview for this week's Players Championship, where we're going to look through the golf course, the field, and everything that you can imagine with data and see if we can find the best decisions to make. Before I jump into that, this is a very important reminder, because if you want to play in the three and done, not the one and done, the three and done that starts this week, this is your last call. There were a lot of people that missed the deadline for the one and done at the season start. This is a 5-event three and done, the Players Championship and the four majors. You'll pick 3 golfers for each one. You can only use them once. So you're going to choose 15 golfers in total over those 5 events. It is a $500 buy-in. I get it. I know some people wanted a little bit less than that, but it is what it is. This is what we were able to get. And there's already over $25,000 in the purse. This is fully regulated and legal in, I think it's 40 states and DC, might be 41 states. So check to see if you can access this. And then there are segment payouts for each tournament, all 5 tournaments. So if you have one really good tournament and you struggle the rest of the way, you might be able to get some winnings either way. All right, that is the pitch. I am in it. I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm ready to make my picks. The link that you need is in the description, and I wish you all the luck. Let's start with maybe the most iconic, most recognizable golf course in the world. I don't know if that's true or not. It's probably top 3, definitely top 5, where if you just said, hey, here's an aerial view, what golf course is this? I think this would be top 3. Obviously, all the water, obviously the 17th hole. It's been in every video game. We've seen it every year for the last 50. This is, I think, year 50. So yeah, it's pretty recognizable. From a data perspective, I'm actually going to just scroll right past the correlation model. We'll come back to that. I want to start right here because I think that this is the story of the week. And what I'm showing, if you're just listening to the audio version of this, is the off the tee chart, which shows how often fairways are hit, average drives, and most importantly, what the penalty is for missing the fairway. And what you'll see here, quick napkin math, there's like 10 holes, and these are only the 4s and the 5s, that if you miss the fairway, you are getting at least a third of a stroke of a penalty on that. It's a ton to have any hole that gets over a third of a stroke. There's a couple holes here where it's a half stroke penalty, to the scoring average. If you miss the fairway, it's a big number, and there's a lot of those holes. And the reason for that is twofold, in my opinion. One, there's water everywhere, just everywhere. Right? So if you are missing in a big way, you're finding the water. And then the other thing is, if you're keeping it dry, but in the thick rough, it's like 3.5 inches of thick rough. It is very lush. I was down there I wasn't there for the tournament last year, but right around tournament time. And it was, I mean, it's nasty stuff. It's really, really nasty. And then you throw in, you know, some strategically placed trees and bunkers. It's just really difficult to score if you are not playing out of the fairway. Or if you are playing out of the fairway, you're getting a little bit of an edge. So I wanted to start here because this is such a big penalty for missing the fairway. So I wanted to point that out. If we go up and we look at the correlated stats to success. And again, we've got great history at this event. Now, we did go back from May to March in 19, I believe it was, Rory McIlroy's most recent victory. So what I've done is, you know, that's kind of taken into account in this correlation model, because you don't necessarily want to look at May stuff in March, and you don't want to look at March stuff in May. What do you see here? Strokes gained off the tee is the most correlated success stat to success. That is not what I love about this. Is now we're building a really good case here, because the metrics down here, how much is a penalty for missing the fairway? That is literally scoring averages, right? That's me going shot by shot and running the data and saying, okay, while the tournament is being played, what penalty are guys getting for missing the fairway on every single hole? So that's while the tournament is being played. This correlation model looks at the season as a whole, and then looks at every single golf course and says, what types of players have had success or are correlated to success at this golf course. These don't have to line up. In fact, there are weeks where they don't. Here they do. So strokes gained off the tee being the most important metric, not only is it ranked eighth, but the value of it is more than strokes gained approach, which is also ranked very highly. That is telling to me. So I love it when both of those things line up, because one is what types of players are having success, and the other one is, it, you know, here's the actual penalty for missing the fairway along the way. So I love that. If you take that course fit and you run it for the last 36 rounds, you see who gets the biggest boost per se in terms of adjusted fit. And to literally no one's surprise, Scottie Scheffler, right? Scottie Scheffler gets nearly a stroke and a half advantage here at TPC Sawgrass because he is such a great driver. He is so good on approach, like all of that stuff, right? Rory McIlroy is number two. Xander Schauffele is number four. Victor Hovland is number six. None of that is really all that surprising. Keith Mitchell at number three is. Keith is a great driver. He's a great ball striker in general. This is probably one of, this is probably the golf course on the PGA Tour that allows his strength to be magnified the most. He also has to figure out the rest of his game, and he's going to have to do a lot of different things well, but the best parts of his game are most rewarded here. And then Adam Scott is fifth. Adam Scott has a lot of great success at TPC Sawgrass. We will talk about course history and how sticky it is and all that fun stuff. Adam Scott has a great history around here. He gets a great adjusted fit. Let's talk about the stickiness of this golf course. What you're going to hear a lot this week, especially because of Scottie Scheffler trying to go back to back and coming off the win last week, is you are going to hear them say no one has ever successfully defended at the Players Championship. That is a refrain you're going to hear constantly. And of course it is true. To me, that doesn't even really scratch the surface of the volatility of results at this golf course. Rory McIlroy missed the cut before his win, missed the cut after his win, missed the cut a couple of years after his win. Even Scottie Scheffler in his three trips has gone missed cut, 55th, first. Guys that have had a lot of success here do not often have year over year success. And guys that struggle here do not often have year over year struggles. There is a very unsticky. What's the opposite of sticky? Lubricated course history around here for a couple of reasons. Again, it's a difficult golf course. There is the water everywhere means big scores are in play. Playing it in Florida this time of year does bring in some potential wind waves or weather waves. We've seen that. So you might just be on the wrong end of the draw. It's a massive field. When you have a field this big on a golf course, this volatile, it's pretty easy to miss the cut. And you see that from a lot of guys. So when we get to the custom model portion of the show, I'm going to put a little weight on course history, but it's not going to be nearly as much as you see most weeks or when we get to Augusta in a few weeks. Like, I just don't really care either way about course history, good, bad, or indifferent. This is the cheat sheet on rickrungood.com. Everything I've shown you thus far and will continue to show you will be from rickrungood.com. It's my website. It's a giant database for fantasy golf and golf betting. It's all that I do is golf. So I think you should check it out. I love it. I think you'll love it too. Go give it a click. There are six golfers over $10,000, and we are, again this week, going down into the 5K range for DraftKings pricing, big field, all that fun stuff. Here we go. Scottie Scheffler, $12,800. Obviously deserving of that price tag, deserving of everything that comes with his success. We have finally answered the question of what happens when Scottie putts well and he wins a golf tournament by five shots. That's exactly what it is. After losing a stroke and a half on the putting surfaces in round number one. He was lights out the rest of the week, and he actually gained 4.3 strokes putting, which is his best putting result since. I'm going to have to add more years to this. You'll have to take my word for it. It is probably a very long time. Yeah, so that was... Wow, two of like his top seven putting performances in his career have come at Bay Hill. So that was number six, his best putting performance since Phoenix in 2022, which is also an event that he won, because when Scotty putts well, he's going to win. Looking at it this week, he's getting a salary increase. He was 34% owned last week. It's a much smaller field. So while I think he'll be popular this week, it's probably going to come at a lower number. I think that when you go down into the 5K range, it is pretty easy to get Scotty into some of these lineups. Again, I don't care that he won this last year. I care that he switched to a mallet style putter. He switched to not using the line on top of his golf ball. He went from being very robotic to being a little artistic, being a little bit athletic. The stats paid off. He looked confident, right? I mean, this is to me the combination of both statistics and anecdotes here. The eye test, he looked super confident to me. The stroke always kind of looked, I think the issue with his putting is I don't think he starts it on the line that he wants. No, I don't think he lines it up well. He can start on the line that he wants. I don't think he lines it up well. And the mallet and not using the line, I think, goes a long way for him. So I'll have as much access to Scottie Scheffler as I can get. Rory McIlroy. I think Rory is good enough, right? So here's the strokes gained trends tool. And I want to point this out for a reason on Rory. The way that I do this is I look at everybody's 100 round baseline, and then I compare it to any number of rounds that you want. I like to use the last 36. Rory McIlroy is dead even to himself in the last 36 rounds. So compare his 36 round version to his 100 round version. It's the same. He's not playing hotter than it. He's not playing colder than it. That is still the best in the field. 1.7 strokes gained per round. So when you have, Ludwig here, who's playing a third of a stroke over his 100 round baseline, he still does not get to Rory McIlroy. So it is a really high floor. The one thing that I think there are a couple of things to worry about here. And we've talked about this a little bit. I'll zoom in so you guys can see this a little bit better. His results in 2024 haven't been that good. He has played mostly well enough for me to not be concerned. He's driving it unbelievable. He's probably the best driver in the world. And that is going to be super rewarded here. I worry about this second column. Losing strokes on approach, and he looks a little bit, I don't want to say lost, but it reminds me of, oh boy, I'm gonna have to go back a couple of years, but remember there was that stretch where he kept losing strokes on approach. He was losing, especially with his wedges. I think it was about, he snapped out of it at Wells Fargo. So it was here where he just wasn't very good with his wedges, and he was missing a lot of shots left. That's what this reminds me of. Both eye test and statistically. The other thing that I worry about is almost every event in 2024 so far, he has made a big number or two. And he has still gotten away with it in a couple of smaller field, signature field events. Maybe he's done it on the weekend, whatever. But if he makes that big number or hits that big one, that like that big left miss early in the week here, it's really easy to miss the cut. So that would worry me a bit. I think that Rory is just more high risk, high reward probably not high reward, just more risk than Scottie Scheffler is at the moment. The rest of this 10K range is pretty interesting. You know, the price on Xander, 11,300, feels a bit heavy. You know, he did finish T25 and played well on Sunday at the API last week, but he was just never in it, just never at all in it. I'm not sure what the takeaways are there. He did play better at Riviera. He played better at the, I mean, it's fine. I think Justin Thomas probably should have been here. You know, JT had the two really bad rounds at Riviera. And other than that, he's been splendid for like 15 starts in a row. And I'll pull up his Players Championship stuff. It's good, but again, I'm not I'm not weighing this nearly as much, but it's good. He's got the win. He's never missed a cut here. He finished third in 2016. It's great. You know, gain strokes off the tee, gain strokes on approach. The putter cooperates sometimes. It's fine. But what I see is outside of this outlier at Riviera, two things. A elite ball striker, which is what you want from Justin Thomas. That's his DNA. And a pretty well-rounded golfer. Gaining through the bag at API, at Phoenix, almost did it at Pebble. He did do it at the American Express. This goes back to his European Tour stuff. By the way, I've got the European Tour data. I've got six tours on rickrungood.com. So if you want to get the full picture of some of these guys, probably worth checking out a source that has access to all of those tours. So I think JT at 10-6 probably excites me the most. And again, I don't care about the history here. Cantlay, if you're going to take a flyer on Cantlay or Xander, why not Cantlay? Two guys that just were never in the mix last week, but have played better this year. You don't usually see extended stretches of slumping from either one of these guys, and 10-3 for a guy of Patrick Cantlay's ilk who has, winning upside, I think is exciting. We have to do a deep dive on Victor Hovland because there is, there's a couple of things here. So statistically, this should be a place that gives him a really good fit, right? Great driver, great ball striker. His history here, again, I don't care, but it was third and ninth. But I think there's a lot of questions about what to do with him. 2024 hasn't been off to a great start. He started the year by losing strokes on approach pretty significantly, something he hasn't done in his career. The other little concern is he has now lost around the green in four straight, which is something that he did plug last year. And I'm not going to say the reason for that is because of the coaching change. I'm not going to say, I don't know that. We'll never know that. But when you have a life change, a game change, an injury, something that happens, and then the stat profile follows along, I think that's noteworthy. And maybe Victor and Grant Waite are still working through some things and getting everything all cleaned up. But I would be lying if I said that this wasn't a concerning stat profile. I think he's close. I saw plenty of really good signs at Bay Hill, and then, you know, didn't really put it together for all four rounds or for 18 holes at a time. But this is starting to be a little bit concerning. The 9K range is really fun here. So I've been on the record. I'm buying so much Will Zalatoris stock. I just cannot stop. I'm not going to stop this week. Another really good finish at a big time event. Difficult golf courses are where he gets to shine. Hideki Matsuyama is here. Hideki always makes everybody a little queasy. You know, he's got these quotes where my back hurts or my game stinks or whatever it is. Just plug your ears and do not listen to Hideki. You can't. Realistically, what he's done is a T22 in Phoenix, a win at Riviera, and then in the mix at Bay Hill before he punts away on Sunday, which a lot of guys punted it away on Sunday. Harris English, Rory McIlroy, Cantlay made three straight bogeys late. It's just like it happens. So you still look at distance off the tee, sure. Approach play, great. A much better putter than people want to give him credit for. He's gained six strokes putting in his last three starts. A phenomenal around the green game, right? I think that if you can just kind of plug your ears, plug your nose, don't worry about the Hideki WD or back quote or whatever he's going to give us this week, the stats are really good on it. And of course, again, I'll stop saying it, but I'll show you the Players Championship stuff. Just know that I don't care as much. Fifth in 2023, eighth in 2019, seventh in 2016. Those are his three best finishes. He's missed the cut twice in eight starts. And remember, he was the first round leader in 2020 before they canceled this event. That really doesn't mean anything, but I wanted to point it out there. Max Homa, and I mentioned this last week, you know, he is not the shiny new object. Ludwig is. Ludwig, who has got a ton of top 25s, a runner-up at Pebble that he might have won if they played the final round, a game that translates perfectly to this golf course will be the popular one. Max Homa. I scratched my head last week because last week I liked course history a lot, and Homa was great at Bay Hill, and he finished eighth again. So now Homa's Bay Hill history is what? Five straight top 25s, including the T8 from last week, 16th at Riv, eighth at Bay Hill. The game is rounding into form. The putter's really hot. There's room for improvement both off the tee and on approach. He's got back-to-back top 15 finishes here. And I don't think anybody's going to want to play him, or at least not enough to worry me. I think they're going to go to Ludwig. I think they'll go to Zalatoris and Decky. Maybe you even get a little bit of Wyndham Clark. Sam Burns is another one. Sam Burns was two shots off the lead on Sunday. He makes a triple out of the gate. He makes another triple late in his round. He finishes 30th. I think it's so bizarre how this all looks, right? You know, if he would have done that in round one and then rallied to a T30 finish, everybody would be excited about him this week. Instead, it's the opposite. But when you look at this again and see, okay, wow, it's 2024. His last five are 6th, 10th, 3rd, 10th, 30th. On a golf course, that's a good fit for him. Why? Why are we not? Like, the dude is a putting machine. It's really bizarre what people do. So Homa and Burns feel like the pretty good pivots in this range. I'll be interested to see what people do with Cam Young. He was very popular last week. He didn't really disappoint, but he didn't do anything spectacular. Another good golf course for him. So I think the 9K range is the range of pivots. That seems to be the key for me. And then also, you have to tip your hat to Shane Lowry. The one thing that Shane Lowry does better than everybody else in this 9K range is he hits fairways. And he's not very long, but you saw what happens when you play out of the fairway at the Cognizant, when you play out of the fairway at Bay Hill. It's back-to-back top five finishes. This is obviously a deeper and very strong field, but last week was a strong field as well. Good history around here and a skill set that allows him to play out of the short grass, and he's playing decent golf. So 9K range is stocked. Probably a good pivot range. We'll see how the ownership shakes out. We're going to do a live show as we do every week, Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, Rick Run Good YouTube channel. We'll go through all the questions, answers. We'll have ownership projections. We'll have one and done projections. We'll have a lot more data than we do now on this Monday. So for this 8K range, I want to start on the trends tool here because I want to see who starts popping off. So you've got Minwoo Lee here, who is playing about a quarter of a stroke per round in the last 36 over his baseline. It gets him close to a 1.5 strokes gained per round golfer. That's a huge number. You also have Sahith here, who's playing nearly a quarter of a stroke better than his baseline. That gets him to about a stroke per round, which is that's a very, very good number. So he's at $8,700. And then there's a pretty big gap, just in terms of heat between those guys and everybody else in the 8K. Sungjae's next. Sungjae's playing to his 100 round baseline. Doesn't feel like it, but he's playing to his 100 round baseline. It hasn't been that great. I bet you if I go to 12 rounds, Sungjae's going to drop even farther than that. But what I'm seeing is, and then Finau's next, and Finau's slightly losing to himself over the last 36. So what I think is setting up here is a really popular 9K range and an 8K range where people are going to throw their hands up, maybe click one name that they like. It's probably going to be a combination of Minwoo Lee and Sahith. Sahith doesn't have a great record here. Don't care. And he is much more improved, much more consistent now than he's probably ever been. I'll pull up his profile in a second. And then Minwoo Lee at the bottom, who did have a good finisher last year, had the runner-up at PGA National. Everybody knows the skill set. Everybody likes to play him. Here's the Sahith profile, and it is a lot more consistent than he used to be. The other thing that I like is he was a routine loser off the tee. Not nearly anymore. Since the Scottish Open, he has lost strokes off the tee one time, and it's turning into a little bit of a weapon for him. The second shot still very much up in the air. His short game is phenomenal. We saw that on full display, almost too much. I mean, we knew a regression was coming after, what was it, Thursday's round. He had the best around the green round of anybody this season. on any, in any event. So we knew that the regression was coming there, but he is a very good, he has a very good short game. He's a very good putter. And we've got back to, or two top six finishes in his last five. I think he's feeling very confident. He's played well at the signature events. I think on paper, this is not a course that you would circle and say, hey, Sahith's going to be really great here. But I think he can be, because he's maturing at a fairly quick rate. The guy that gets so easily overlooked is Russell Henley, who routinely puts up great finishes and everybody moves on quickly. He has not missed a cut since the Open Championship. During that time frame, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 top 15s, including last week's API. He is not going to gain you a ton of strokes off the tee, but what he's going to do is he's going to play out of the fairway. Right? He's 42nd in driving accuracy. And when he misses, it's very, very small, which should keep the water out of play. Fourth in distance from edge of fairway. Then he is one of the better ball strikers, second shot players on the PGA Tour. You can see the putter has been scorching ever since they got to Florida. So he goes 7 strokes gained at PGA National, 5.5 at Bay Hill. You know, little Florida swing might do good for Russell Henley, who's a Georgia guy. Get yourself in the Southeast and see what you can do. So I'm excited to see what this range turns into. I also think, like, Ben, like, can we just Ben on real quick? People who are waiting for the cool off for Ben on have not gotten it. His 2024. Let's do this. Let's go to the Holy Grail. Everybody in this field since January 1st of 2024. I wonder where Ben on is. I probably could have just typed it in a lot faster than doing it this way, but let's find out. I bet you Ben on, let's get rid of, let's just do only, I don't want senior tour events. I don't want Corn Ferry events. I don't want Asian Tour events. Live doesn't matter because there's none of those guys. So PGA and European Tour. Ben on is, let's see. Wow. I mean, he is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I'm not counting Bryce Garnett, who of course, you know, just won in Puerto Rico, but no sample size there. So he's like the 10th best player in this field since January 1st. He's been better than Jordan. He's been better than Sahith and Adam Scott and Cam Young and all these guys, Austin Eckroat and Ludwig. And I know they're playing in some different fields, but not that many. Ben on played Bay Hill, finished T8. Ben on played Riviera, finished T26. Ben on played the Century, finished fourth. His signature event year has been pretty good. Let's do that. I mean, while we're here, I mean, right, you're here for this, right? So let's just do the tournament. So let's just do the signature events. Arnold Palmer, Bay Hill, Century and Riv, right? Four of them. Yeah. Of guys who have played all 15 rounds, right? 4, 4, 4, and 3. He's the third best player in signature events. Scottie Scheffler, 1. Patrick Cantlay, 2. Ben on, 3. Wow, that is jarringly good. Cool. All right. Good on you, Ben on. Quick reminder that if you skip through the intro of the show, this is your last week to get into the 3 and done, like a 1 and done, but you pick 3 and you can only use them once for the Players Championship and the 4 majors, 5 events. The link is in the description. It is legal in 40 or 41 states and DC, fully regulated. Have some fun. And also, spoiler, I think, I know that this week is Selection Sunday in college basketball, and I've gotten a lot of messages. Are you going to do a March Madness video, Rick? Rick, are you going to do a March Madness video? Yes, of course. It's the most popular video that I do. I believe we're also going to be able to get a bracket on Splash. So you might as well go over there. You might as well get in the tiers contest. You might as well get into the 3 and done. You might as well get ready, because I think we're going to have a bracket contest next week. Not sure about that, but I'm pretty sure. All right. 7K range. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Okay. I want to look at Brian Harman. I want to look at a couple of these guys. Let's start with Harman. I am probably surprised to see that he finished 12th last week, because he had a Saturday in which he lost 4.5 strokes to the field, and it was horrible. He lost 3.8 ball striking. He lost another half a stroke in the short game categories. It was very uncharacteristic, still able to finish 12th. I'm impressed by that. Bounced right back, gained two strokes the next day. So three of the four rounds last week at Bay Hill, he gained 2.1 strokes to the field or more. Brian Harman is an enigma. Brian Harman succeeds in a lot of places that you don't expect him to, because he does have an at least one elite skill set, maybe two, maybe one and a half. And his elite skill sets are driving it accurately and putting. Now, I'll admit, in 2024, he has not done either one of those very well. If we go back and look at his 2023 stuff, I bet you it's a lot better. It is 27th in strokes gained putting, accuracy 16th, and distance from edge of fairway 5th. That's Brian Harman's true baseline. And it is why on some of these difficult setups, he can find success, because playing out of the fairway is of critical value and putting ends up being of critical value. So I'm ready to rumble with Brian Harman at $7,900. I've spoken a lot about Adam Scott in the last couple of weeks. We saw his adjusted fit was huge. Yes, he missed the cut last week. I don't care. I am committed to being overweight and or betting Adam Scott every start from now, or actually from a couple of weeks ago, from Riviera it was, until the Masters and through the Masters. I already have a future on him, so I don't have to worry about that. But missed the cut at Bay Hill. It happens. All these good results. I mean, I've spent a ton of oxygen on Adam Scott. I don't need to continue doing that. You get the point here. Emiliano Grillo. Yeah, stay off of him. You know, he's missed three straight cuts here. You don't want to play a guy like that, right? Why would you? Course history means so much. Psych. Emiliano Grillo. Noted ball striker. Now noted putter. Because he added another three strokes with the flat stick last week. He has now gained in all but one event in 2024 on the surfaces. He's got another 7.5 strokes gained ball striking in his last two starts. The results are great. Fire him up. There was somebody else here. Oh, I wanted to look up Keith Mitchell, because he popped on the course fit, on the adjusted fit. And it's going to be, yeah, I mean, it's because of this. He is such an unbelievable driver. I mean, he gained 5 at PGA National. He gained 2.7 in Mexico, 3 in Phoenix. It's ridiculous. Three straight top 20s. Tell you what, the rest of his game is pretty good too. Around the green's a problem, but if he loses a half a stroke around the green and gains 1.5 putting like he did in Phoenix, that's fine. That's a good math problem for Keith Mitchell. I don't care about that. Really good stat profile. I think he'll probably be popular. What's his history here? Yeah. 13th and 35th in his last two. That'll probably be popular. What in the world do we do with these three? Harris English, Tom Hoagie, Eric Cole. They are 7,800, 7,800, 7,700. Eric Cole is terrifying, but outside of, I mean, two events. Farmers, which we knew he was going to stink, and he did. PGA National, which I cannot believe he stunk, and he did. The rest of it is, for a year, has been great. He finished 21st last week. Tom Hoagie has quietly played great golf in 2024. Let's do that again. Let's go back to since the start of 2024, strokes gained total, everybody in this field. Yeah, Tom Hoagie's like 15th. He's right below Cam Young. He's better than Tony Finau. He's better than Emiliano Grillo and Jason Day and Patrick Cantlay. It's kind of wild, isn't it? 33 rounds. He's gaining us 1.2. Look at his ball striking numbers. He has gained 1.2 strokes per round in 2024 on approach, including 8 total last week. He's finished outside the top 20. He's finished outside the top 18 once in his last 5 starts, and it was a T28. He lost 4 strokes putting last week. If he putts like he did the 6 starts before that, he freaking wins the thing. And he doesn't do that because Scotty ran away with it, but he like finishes second. Is this a Hoagie spot? Is it Hoagie week? Shout out to my Wawa peeps. Again, course history is not super critical, but he does have a 30th, 22nd, 33rd, and 3rd in his last four. Crap. Hoagie week. And then Harris English, I mean, the 21st, he played much better than that. He just gave it away. Him and Rory gave it away on, what was that, Sunday. Still really like the way Harris English is trending for only $7,800. And then I just whiffed on Jake Knapp. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it's Knapp week or not. Is he tired? Did he just get Bay-Hilled? No idea. Okay, the 6K range is very, very fun. We have Doug Gim is $6,800. He has finished inside the top 16 in four in a row. Did not play Bay-Hill. Comes in well-rested. He's driving it very accurately and has a 6th and a 29th here in the last 3 years. Love it. Austin Eckrod. I worry that this is week four in a row, but I was impressed. I'll pull him up. I was impressed that after the win, he was it's hard for these guys, especially on their first win, to really kind of figure it out. Struggled in round, or immediately like get back out there. Struggled in round one, had a great round two, had a bad weekend. I'm kind of torn on this. It's week four, but he's such a good ball striker, and he is accurate off the tee, and he knows he can contend. He knows he can compete. This is a big spot for him. I worry that it's week four in a row with a win in there, but I don't think that's a bad buy spot. We have to look at Lucas Glover. I want to continue to provide this update on Glover every couple of weeks and just check in for myself, but for everybody else. And if it's still the same, yeah, it's still the same. I mean, the putter, which unlocked him last year, is not good anymore and was really only good for 2 weeks. I lied. It was good for 4 weeks. Lucas Glover had a good putter for four total weeks in the last 5 years. They happened to be a 4 out of 6 week period, and he cashed two of them in for wins. And since that second win, he has hemorrhaged on the putting surfaces. Still using the same putters, using that broomstick lab golf putter. Same one, you know, Zalatoris is using and some of those other guys. But it's not working in the same way. So I just want to continue to monitor this, because if he gains 3 strokes again with the putter, he's going to contend, but there's little evidence that is coming. Does Andrew Novak cool off? Does he use the snub from last week as motivation? Is he able to continue this stretch of 3 straight top 10 finishes? I want to say yes, because he did have a week off from Phoenix to Mexico, and he did continue this great stretch. Beautiful ball striking numbers. He's gained like 12 strokes ball striking in his last 12 rounds. Very good throughout the bag. You know, he probably should have gotten in last week. He should have been the 70th man in the field at Bay Hill. He was not happy about that. Little fuel for the PGA Tour as he goes to HQ this week. Maybe. Really great numbers, very good price. You know, when you look at $6,400 Andrew Novak and $6,300 Lucas Glover, those guys are going in separate directions. They're going in very, very different directions. The 5K range. So if you want to open up the top of the board, there are a couple of options out there for you. The Justin Lauer, to me, is, I like his game. He for the most part, he gets the most out of his skills, and he keeps the ball in front of him. He doesn't get into too much trouble. We saw him finish 3rd in Mexico, and he played well enough last week. He beat over half the field. He finished 36th. $5,700. That's not bad at all. The other guys down here, CT Pan looks, I think he was dealing with an injury. He looks healthy to me again, and I think he is healthy again. He's got 3 straight decent finishes. Again, he keeps the ball in front of him. He's going to keep it in play. He's not going to overpower any golf course, let alone TPC Sawgrass, but you can kind of just keep it in play, keep it in the short grass. Ben Silverman might be your hottest golfer, 16th and 13th out of this range. He also finished 18th at Sony. Again, not long. He is accurate. He has hit a lot of greens in regulation this year. If you're just looking for somebody to, hey, make it to the weekend, maybe make a run at this, $5,500 is not a bad option there. Nico Echeverria. 5,400. And I want to actually pull up his stat profile because I think he played in Puerto Rico last week. I think I saw his name on that leaderboard. Yeah, he did. Okay. I like this kid's game. I've seen it in person. He snapped off and won in Puerto Rico last year out of nowhere, right? He had missed four straight cuts. He missed six of seven coming in. He snapped off in Puerto Rico and he won. And then after that, it was kind of that Michael Kim situation where he just missed every cut. He just missed everything until the end of 2023, where you started to see a lot more consistent results. Don't get me wrong. He is not blowing these fields out of the water. I'm talking about finishes from 25th to 65th, right? But he's making more cuts. Now in 2024, and his last three specifically, he has three top 25 finishes, which are much better stat profile results. Gained on approach, two or more in Mexico and at PGA National. We don't get the strokes gain breakdown from Puerto Rico, but he finished 15th there. The only day he lost strokes to the field was Sunday. I think this is not, I mean, just incredibly talented. He's based out of Ponte Vedra. Should be very familiar and playing low bar, playing some of the best golf we've seen him play. I mean, probably in his career. The win was out of nowhere and it was a one-off. But I think he could play well this week. Not super comfortable going elsewhere. Let's see what the model says. So we're going to run a model. Again, rickrungood.com. You can put any number of weights in here that you want, any number of rounds, time frames, et cetera, et cetera. Let's do strokes gained off the tee in a big way, right? Don't we have to? So let's do strokes gained off the tee. And I want to get, most guys don't make huge, significant improvements off the tee in 12, 24, 30. So I think we can go kind of long-term here. Let's go 30 off the tee for strokes gained off the tee last 50. Strokes gained approach, I would like to stay a little more recent. Let's go 24 rounds for 20. Then I will also just to do our own little strokes gain total, I'm going to put strokes gain around the green last 50, 10, strokes gain putting last 24, 10. I'm going to put 10 on course history, which is what I said I would do. And then that's only going to leave us with 20 more. This is actually, this is fewer variables than I would like to use. People say, oh, Rick, you use too many. Well, I've got like 180 in here. I want to use them. I'm going to put the last 20 on hard golf courses. In theory, this should be a hard golf course. Let's just see what happens. We can run more on Wednesday. My number one golfer is Scottie Scheffler. No surprise. I can probably model anything and Scottie Scheffler is going to pop up. Rory is two. No surprise. Tommy Fleetwood and Justin Rose being 3 and 4 is a surprise. Tommy Ladd gets the... gets a good boost on hard golf courses. So does Justin Rose. Hideki's 5. Okay. Spieth 6. Adam Scott 7. JT 8 ahead of both Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele at 9 and 10. What else? Fowler gets a boost. Wow. Aaron Rye, $6,400. He's 14th. Victor 17th at 10-1. That stinks. That's worrisome. Emiliano Grillo, $7,400, 26th. There's Keith Mitchell, 7,500, 29th. Okay. Well, listen, we have a lot of work to do this week. My newsletter will come out on Tuesday. If you haven't signed up for it, 100% free, rickrungood.com/newsletter. Go sign up for rickrungood.com. Why wouldn't you? And go get in the 3 and done because it'll be fun. And I think that is all. See you guys Wednesday. Best of luck. Later.